Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 6, The Downfall of Subari Muni, text number 52, without any purport. So I'll just read the translations up until 54 and 55. In the beginning, I was alone and engaged in performing the austerities of mystic yoga. But later, because of the association of fish, engaged in sex, I desired to marry. Then I became the husband of 50 wives, and each of them I begot 100 sons, and thus my family increased to 5,000 members. By the influence of the modes of material nature, I became fallen and thought that I would be happy in material life. Thus there is no end to my material desires for enjoyment in this life and the next. This way he passed his life in household affairs for some time, but then he became detached from material enjoyment. To renounce material association, he accepted the Vanaprastha order and went to the forest. His devoted wives followed him, for they had no shelter other than their husband. Text 54. Tatra tattva tapas tikshnam. Atma-darshanam atmavan sahaivagnirbir atmanam yuyoja paramatmani. Tatra, in the forest, tatva, executing austerity. Tapa, the regular principles of austerity. Tikshnam, very severely. Atmadarshanam, which helps self-realization. Atmavan, conversant with the self. Saha, with. Eva, certainly. Agnibi, fires. Atmanam, the personal self. Yuyoja, he engaged. Parama Atmani, dealing with the Supreme Soul. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Subari Muni, who was quite conversant with the self, went to the forest, he performed severe penances. In this way, in the fire, at the time of death, he ultimately engaged himself in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. At the time of death, fire burns the gross body. And if there is no more desire for material enjoyment, the subtle body is also ended. And in this way, a pure soul remains. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Tyaktva Deham Punarjanma Naiti. If one is free from the bondage of both the gross and subtle material bodies and remains a pure soul, he returns home back to Godhead. To be engaged in the service of the Lord, Tyaktva Deham Punarjanma Naiti Mam Eti. He goes back home, back to Godhead. Thus it appears that Subari Muni attained that perfect stage. Prabhupada quotes this verse, Janma karma tume divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyaktvadeham panarjanma naitimam eti sorjana. Tyaktva, to give up. Tyaktva. Tyaktva deham, to give up the body. Everyone has to give up the body. Punarjanma. But the question is whether we're going to come back to take another body or not. And what is that dependent upon? Tyaktva deham punarjanma. Naitimam eti sorjana. Janma karma chame divyam. To understand in truth about Krishna's appearance and his disappearance. Spiritual world exists in simply a state of loving exchanges. That the very soul, his nature is prema, as it says, Itya Siddha Krishna Prema Sada Kavinoy Shravanadi Shudachite Korya Udoy. That love for Krishna is there in our heart and is manifested in the material world also, but through the gross and subtle material senses. As I used to often say, that everyone needs a deity. Everyone has to worship a deity. It just so happens we chose the wrong deity. We think that this body is the deity. As I gave an analogy many times, we look in the mirror and we ask the mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the greatest of them all? And generally speaking, the conclusion, everyone reaches the same conclusion, that the deity in the mirror is my worshipful deity, and most of my energy, my care and attention goes to serving that deity I see in the mirror. I feed it, I clothe it, I decorate it, I bathe it, and I try to go get other people to glorify it and serve it. So this body is our worshipful deity. Unfortunately, it's not as worshipable as we imagine it to be, because as one great devotee said, kamadinam katida palitas dorni deshas. We may serve it in so many different ways, and it demands a lot of service. Everyone feels when it's time to eat, it's time to serve the senses. When it's time to sleep, we generally don't argue. We think, oh, blessed sleep is coming. I can now fall unconscious. So nice, the body. Similarly, when there's a call of material nature, we're usually more obedient to that call than any other call. If someone calls us, please give me a glass of water, we may or may not accept it, but when nature calls, we have to accept it. So therefore, this body is our most dear and close object of service. But we're not the body. But as long as we're in material consciousness, we have no choice but to accept this body and its service. Therefore, going to the forest means some austerity, but the ultimate austerity, as we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is to fix the mind upon Krishna. That as we learn the technique of fixing the mind upon Krishna, and that doesn't mean simply the mechanical method. I mean, you can learn mechanical methods of remembering everything. There are so many different methods of increasing our memory. So to try to remember Krishna that way will not be so successful. Just like Kamsa, he was able to remember Krishna 24 hours a day. Even he didn't want to, but out of fear that Krishna was going to come and kill him, he was always remembering Krishna, to the extent that when he saw his wives, Prasuti and Supti, he thought they were Krishna and Balaram, and he was about to kill them because he thought, these are my enemies. Now, if you can see your husband or your wives as Krishna and Balaram, you're quite absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But he was not in love with Krishna or Balaram. He was fearful of them. Therefore, the sense of love can only be developed through service. But this particular service means that we have to see everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. Now, if we see it in relationship to this body, then of course we're going to become bewildered. Then we'll think this is I and this is mine. and we see things in relation to Krishna, then we have nothing to win and we have nothing to lose in this material world. Because everything eternally belongs to Krishna, therefore there's nothing I can gain here, there's nothing I can lose. If you go to the bank and you declare everything in the bank, I give back to the bank. No one will take you seriously because you never had anything in the bank to begin with. So you can't give it back because you didn't have. You can't give back something you never had. So to renounce this material world is a waste of time because we never had the material world to begin with. On the other hand, to desire to utilize the material world in Krishna's service, that will be the perfection of our lives. And in that perfection, it doesn't really matter what's going on outside, because it does matter what's going on outside. But in every situation, we have an opportunity to serve Krishna. There's no restriction. Because Krishna can tell us within the heart what he wants us to do. And if we can't hear Krishna within the heart, then we can remember Krishna will give us, if we want, we can study Shastra, or we can hear from Guru and Sadhu, those who actually represent Krishna. We can hear from them, and we can find out what Krishna wants us to do. Now, by assimilating Guru and Sadhu and Shastra, it's not just a ritual we do. I ask Guru, and I ask Shastra, and then I just do whatever I want anyhow, because I can't understand what they're saying. Who? I don't even think Krishna knows. That's not the idea. The idea is we take shelter of Guru and Sadhu and Shastra to actually come in contact with the super soul within the heart, that we actually understand that this is really what he wants us to do. And the super soul in our heart is not a dead stone. He actually wants to communicate with us. So when we actually try to absorb what Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra are telling us, say in some particular instance, what they actually want or telling us to do through knowledge, through perspective, through conviction, through skill, through character, these are all different stages of becoming closer and closer to the super soul. If we have no idea what Krishna is saying, then where is there any question of coming close to him? We don't know. First of all, he'll never speak to us. We don't know what he's saying. We never hear from him or his representatives. Then how can he speak to us? What is he going to tell us? Of course, in the material world, in the human form of life so far, people are not so far away from Krishna that they're completely in the animal species of life. There have been great personalities such as Lord Jesus Christ and Lord Muhammad and others who have come and given Krishna's message, and it hasn't been watered down 100%, maybe 99%, but there's some message coming through. And therefore, people on the street, generally speaking, they don't attack other people on the street and eat them raw, even if they're on a raw diet. It hasn't come to that point yet. Although at the end of Kali Yuga, it does come to that point. If you walk down the street at the end of Kali Yuga and see all these little people smiling at you, you better run. Because they're all on a raw diet. So it hasn't come to that. People are not grabbing each other on the street and engage in sinful activities yet. Although that time will come at the end of Kali Yuga. So in the meantime, there's some spiritual or moral principles, we could say religious principles, that are still somewhat in human society, although it says in the Bhagavatam, tatashtanudinam dharma, sattvam dharma, sattvam socha dharaya shama, balena kalira rajan, nakshatranam palam smriti. Day after day, tatastinudinam dharma. Dharma will go down. And when dharma goes down, what goes down? Sattvam, truthfulness. I mean, who believes what they read in the newspaper? And even if someone's trying to be truthful, how can you believe them? Because they're in ignorance. They think they're their body. They think everyone else is their body. They think they're the controllers. They think there's the whole material. There's only good and evil. There's no nothing transcendental. There's no purpose to life. I establish what's good, and I establish what's evil. I'm good. Everyone thinks they're good. And they establish who's good also and who's evil based upon their own perceptions. So there's no truthfulness because people don't know that they're eternal and that Krishna is God, etc., etc. That's truthfulness. Everything else is just more or less a lie. Asatyam apratishtam te. They don't believe it. They don't believe it in real truth. So, satyam shocham, cleanliness. People don't know what cleanliness is. They hardly wash their hands before or after they eat, or after they use the toilet. They think everything is beautiful. Daya, and merciful, they're not merciful to anything. Every bug in their house they wipe out with their can of Raid, with their poison, and they kill other people if it's convenient to them. They just give them a bad, as they said, give people a bad name, give the dog a bad name, and then you hang it. Bad dog, bad dog. Dirty dog. Oh, I must hang you, you're a dirty dog. Daya, Shema, and they can't tolerate anything. If any inconvenience, they become very disturbed. How is this possible? Kalina Balira Rajan, by the strong force of Kali Yuga, what happens? Balam Sriti, people are losing their bodily strength. They can't do anything. They can hardly lift up the remote to change the channel on their television. It's become too difficult. And Smritis, remembrance. They can't remember even, they hardly remember their name sometimes. What to speak of anyone else's name? As I also given the example, two men were discussing about the restaurant that they had just gone to yesterday. How wonderful the restaurant. But one man couldn't remember the name of the restaurant. But his wife was cooking with the other man's wife in the kitchen. So he said, if you give me a hint, I think I can remember the restaurant. The hint is a flower and it's red. So his friend said, what about Rose? That's right, Rose. Rose, what was the name of that restaurant we went to yesterday? That's his wife. So people, they've lost their memory, they've lost their strength, they've lost all good qualities, and they think they're advancing. So this is Kali Yuga. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tattvataha. As far as understanding reality, the truth of the spiritual existence, they can't even understand the truth of their own existence. The fact that they're actually spiritual beings and that the goal of life is to revive their relation with Krishna and therefore revive their eternal real relation with everyone else and with everything else. Nothing changes, nothing is to gain here except for Krishna consciousness. There's nothing else. Everything else is just a changing of one material form to the next, which are all just made of the same earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Separate from the soul, and not really satisfying to the soul. But one's relation with Krishna, and therefore one's relation with everyone else, is actually what we're looking for. But that takes some hearing, and therefore one has to engage in hearing about Krishna from the right source, with the right attitude. And then if we assimilate that knowledge, then Krishna will speak to us within the heart if we're willing to engage in his service. If we want to increase our steadiness and our enthusiasm for what we're doing in Krishna's service, then Krishna will talk to us within the heart. That talking is not simply some intellectual talking. Give me some hint. But every sound vibration, especially internally from coming from Krishna, conveys with it not only knowledge, but also feeling. And not only just feeling, but also realization. And when one gets that, then it's called tushanti. One becomes satisfied that I'm actually on the right path. I'm actually getting what I'm looking for, namely enlightenment and love and happiness and peace. So that's possible if we hear from the right source, try to assimilate that knowledge and apply it in our lives, and then Krishna will speak to us. He'll reveal to us himself. And himself, which means when Krishna reveals himself, then we can see everything and everyone else as they actually are, rather than as we're currently imagining themselves to be. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ultimately said, Yari deka tari kaha Krishna upadesh, amar agai guru tana tari desh. Whoever we meet, we only have one thing to do. Life is actually quite simple if we become Krishna conscious. It doesn't require a huge education if we just accept basically the basic principle. And what is that? Whoever we meet, the only thing to do is to ask Krishna to please tell me what I should do to help this living entity become Krishna conscious. That's all we have to do. What should I do? What should I say? How should I act to help this other soul or souls make progress in their relationship with Krishna? If I accept that, then I'm engaged in devotional service. Now, of course, I may not know that. I may not even know that verse. But if somehow or another, if I'm serving someone who's actually aware of that, if that's the ultimate purpose behind what the instructions I'm following are, then I also get some credit. Then I also get some purification by such association with someone who actually knows, or someone who's actually fully absorbed in whoever they're meeting, they're simply helping them become Krishna conscious. And Krishna is giving them the intelligence and manifesting those activities through his spiritual energy to help others become Krishna conscious. So even while I'm washing the pots in the kitchen, even I'm doing the pujari work, even I'm going to book distribution, I forget why I'm there, what I'm doing, still because I'm following the instructions of a great soul whose aim is simply to help people wake up to their relationship with Krishna, who has no thought that they're going to gain anything personally by that, but simply doing it as service to Krishna, because Krishna wants everyone to go back to the spiritual world. Therefore, everyone gets credit towards advancing towards that realization and that pure service towards Krishna in this age, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada wrote to me one time after another part of the letter. But at the end of the letter, he said that the more you work seriously to help bring Krishna's other children back to the spiritual kingdom, then the more he'll bestow all his blessings upon you. That Krishna is never ungrateful for efforts to serve him, rest assured. So that's all Krishna is interested in bringing his other children back to the spiritual kingdom. He's not trying to get more cows or have a nice palace and go cool Vrindavan. He's not interested. He's simply interested in that people progress in their relation with him, and therefore they become happy again. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
I'm wondering how to keep this enthusiasm after marathons, after Padayatra. So there is
Go ahead and book distribution. How to keep it? Well, we become enthusiastic because Krishna is pleased with it. Enthusiasm, according to the nectar of instruction, activities performed with intelligence in Krishna in devotional service is called enthusiasm. So that's the formula. Activity, we have to do something with intelligence in Krishna consciousness, and then we'll become enthusiastic. So you can do that. We're just used to finding our enthusiasm in certain things. Therefore, we're a little lazy because we think, oh, this is spiritual. Let me go out and distribute books. Let me go out and chant Hare Krishna. And everything else is mundane. This is our conception. Therefore, for us, everything becomes mundane when we're not doing the things we think are spiritual. But it's all spiritual. If one sees everything as an opportunity to serve Krishna and his devotees, then it all becomes spiritual. And of course, we just don't say, oh yes, it's spiritual. No, we have to do it with care and attention. Then Krishna will give us the enthusiasm. He'll increase our intelligence so that we do things more carefully. We understand what we're doing and how to do it better with more care and attention, with more enthusiasm. And we don't do that, we'll always be stuck, unless I have a certain situation, then I can't be enthusiastic, because everything else is mundane, except for the few things I think are spiritual. So that's why we study Prabhupada's books, to expand our awareness, so that we see everything is, you know, more and more things at least is spiritual, not just a few things I think are spiritual. It's like you go on preaching for a week. You can't wait for the weekend so that you can take some rest. So then the weekend comes and you have nothing to do. So you fall into ignorance. You think, I can't wait till Monday. I can go out and be back in spiritual consciousness again. Anything else?
What happening then when we are chanting in our heart and mind? What in this time is happening with our heart and mind?
When we're chanting with our heart and our mind.
What is happening when we chant?
Well, the soul, by good association, Krishna is giving some remembrance, we should chant, try to chant his name. So according to whatever intelligence we have, then we try to chant. And according to our instructions, we have how to do it better, because everyone can chant. But if we're trying to do it better, then Krishna gives us intelligence, according to our previous instructions, how to try to do it better. And as we try to improve, then Krishna sees our sincerity at some point as we're trying to improve. And then Krishna reveals himself in the chanting, proportionally as we're sincere. Sincere means our effort, in spite of all obstacles, because sometimes we're chanting, it's dry, we're not getting any real result, apparently from result from it. We're not feeling any love or ecstasy. It seems all kind of mechanical, like we can chant anything. You know, Mary had a little lamb, its sheep was white as snow. Something like that. So, when Krishna sees we're sincerely trying to chant with more attention and with more feeling, calling out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna to please reveal to me their loving service, when Krishna sees, in spite of the fact that we're not immediately getting the results we're hoping for, but we're continuing on, then Krishna sees we're sincere and he gives us some experience in Krishna consciousness eventually. And then we're enthusiastic. We become enthusiastic to continue on with the chanting. And eventually when one can chant purely, then one will actually meet Krishna. And the whole, Krishna will reveal himself fully. And we'll see Krishna face to face. Is that right? Anything else? Hvala Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.